If you're able to bring your cameras up, please do. And we'll talk with us, praise the Lord.
Yes,
praise the Lord. I wanted to take a question tonight for a minute. Just encourage us in the Lord concerning heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I doubt seriously I will leave and go to the other chapters. And I don't have my parallel of tonight. And as soon as I bring this up, we're going to get right into it. And I won't keep you again tonight. Ella Robbins is going through some tests. Mrs. Smith and has some blood drawn today, and she's going through some tests. We have to really be praying for the health and of the saints, because, you know, all of us, many of us, especially those of us who've gotten, who've entered into the gray zone, both in hair, for those of us who still have hair, and in age, you know, we're getting to a point where these bodies are wearing out, and we, it's like we do to an older car, like I do to my car. I keep it maintained, and I keep it, you know, all the fluid levels and things, and the tires on it. But you can't hide the fact that it is getting older. And some things wear out that just not going to replace them or whatever. And it's the same thing in us. The Lord keeps us and He strengthens us. And many of the things, for some of the things we have, we could do better with. I could do better with my A1C, and I really need to. And God has said to me, He's not going to give me a miracle in that. I just need to learn to do better. And you probably have some things that are going on in your body and in your life, and God has said to you, you just need to do better. God is not going to give you a miracle weight loss. You know, and you just need to eat better. And, you know, and God's not going to, you know, if you want your muscles and joints to work for a longer period of time, then you need to get some exercise. And you are where you are probably because of lack of exercise to start with, a lot of it. I found out some long time ago that even in arthritis and those things, and joints, for people who remain active and who don't overexert, because you can do too much. Yes. And athletes and those, they have arthritic things because they work so hard. But there's a balance that God has that you can actually keep yourself in a pretty good condition, even to your 90s, and some people are going to be 100 now. So I'm encouraged. But the bottom line is you're not going to beat mortality. God is the only one who can beat mortality, who can win over mortality. I hear some people say sometime about cancer, I'm going to beat this. No, you have the wrong mind. You need to ask God. You can say God's going to beat this if you want to, or the Holy Ghost, or the power of God's going to, is greater than my cancer. But you're not going to beat anything. If God doesn't heal you, if God doesn't heal you, you're at the mercy of medical science. And for no more than they can do for you, that's as much as you get. And for some people, it is the will of God, the way God works. For some people, the Lord, medical science can help you, and some people, they struggle for a long time. But not to worry. Don't worry. Some bodies last longer than others, but everybody's body wears out sooner or later. Sooner or later. Except Jesus should come, and the people will laugh when Jesus comes. But everybody else, if you don't live until Jesus comes, you're going to die. And at the point that you do that, you have to have it. Your mind made up and have your life lined up. It's like having life insurance and everything else. You've got to have the ultimate life insurance. It's called God. Yes. It's the ultimate life insurance. It is called God. It is called eternal life, what comes from God. Well, what do I get out of God's insurance? Eternal life. It is a whole life policy, even more so. It's an eternal life policy. And so we look at Corinthians, the 5th chapter. One of the questions, excuse me, now you have to pardon me tonight because I probably cough a few times because I have this infection. I hope it doesn't bother you too bad and you're able to stay with me. But if it bothers you so bad, you just have to turn me off, and that's all right. I certainly understand. Someone told me one time, said, well, you know, they were coughing so much, I just couldn't hear it, so I just turned it off. I said, okay, I understand. I really do. And since I'm going to do the parallel, I'm going to read it out of this, and I'll get both at the same time. Come on, come here. Great. Chapter 5. One of the mysteries, or one of the things that is not completely clear to me, and no one else I ask, and I know you have an answer for it, but one of the things that's not completely clear, in chapter 5, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when I read it, I get the impression from what I read in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that when we die, we go to heaven, and we get a new body immediately, and that's what I believe. Mm-hmm. Because I know what it says here. And someone says, well, what does it mean in 1 Corinthians chapter, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when it says the dead in Christ shall rise first? Well, I'm not totally clear on that. I'm not sure whether they rise on that day, or does it mean, you know, since it says they'll rise first in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, it says that we shall not prevent them that are dead. In other words, it uses the word prevent or pre-event. Mm-hmm. In other words, we won't go to heaven before the people who die. They will go to heaven before we do. Well, that makes perfect sense to me, since, you know, everybody who dies, we say they go to heaven, and I'm pretty sure about that. If they lived a life, and there are probably remarkably few people who actually lived such a horrible life before us that they went to heaven and we didn't think they went. But there probably are a few. So when we talk about the dead in Christ going to heaven before us, at any point, I know that when Jesus went to heaven, he took all the people out of paradise, and they saw them going through the city. Mm-hmm. And the people attributed to the graves being open, but because they saw them. But the point being is that the people were resurrected, or they were changed from mortal to immortal. And remember, those people were coming from paradise. We never go to paradise. Yes. That being said, I've heard people preach that when Jesus comes, he's going to bring the saints from heaven. They're going to go through the grave and get their bodies and then rise. Maybe they are. If you're going to go back through the grave and get a body when Jesus comes, what are you going to do with the one you got while you're in heaven? So it's... But I got good news for everybody here. This is one of those points that you don't have to be completely sure about in order to be saved. You just need to know that when you see Jesus, you'll be changed from old to immortal. And at the and how the resurrection will work with the saints that will come through him and the dead in Christ shall rise first, well, we'll see when it happens. I'm sure if the Bible says that there's a way that it functions, we just aren't there. Somebody else said, oh, I know exactly what it means. Smith, I can tell you exactly what it is. Well, good. But I do know what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. It says, we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, or if this earthly house be tabernacle were dissolved, referring to this body, and there are a wealth of people who believe that in the rapture you're only caught up in soul and spirit. That's not what he means when he says, and we shall be changed. He's referring to changing and us being carried up in body. The body goes up, not the soul and spirit, the body. That helps you stop believing in haints. And it helps you stop believing that you're seeing your great-grandmother walking through your living room and things, because if she's in heaven, she has a body. So she's not. It's not like you can be in a body and get out of it when you want to and get back in it, get out of it and get back in it. You know, you be a spirit for a minute, you get out and get... It doesn't work like that. And as we read, you'll see that it doesn't. But we know that if it were dissolved, that this body that goes back to the dust... Dust we are and dust we shall return, the word of God says. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That's the last thing we say when we put a coffin in the ground. You see, you hear these things, but you don't try to assign any meaning to them. We have a building of God, or we're going to have an immortal body. Everybody say, I'm going to have an immortal body. Yeah. When I die and when I go to heaven, they're going to bury this body, but God's going to give me an immortal body. And this body is going back to the dust. Eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Don't we know that? Every time we get sick, we know that the one thing that we are always aware of, when my body is changed from mortal to immortal, I will not get sick anymore. When my body is changed from mortal to immortal, I won't have to do any more no more test for cancer, no more, what do you call the things you have to do every 5 or 6 years?
Colonoscopies,
no more mammograms, no more men have to do a PCA or whatever test it is for excuse me, for cancer. You have to do any more of those. No more coughs, no more sinus infections, no more ear infections, none of those. Mortal bodies have none of those. No more tiredness, no more gout, no more swollen ankles. You can stop pretending that you're healthier than you are. I look at people who pretend that they're healthier than they are. I don't want people to know they're sick. Please, give me a break. We all have mortal bodies. If you're sick, that's what you are, sick. And you need to ask people to pray, and when we pray that the Lord will heal you. For in this we groan. In other words, when we... for people who don't have a hope in Christ, and your hope is completely in the earth, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. But for those of us who know and are sure about eternal life and having an immortal body, which is why we come to God, and we don't talk about this enough because we're afraid that we'll scare the really intelligent people off, and they watch so much TV and they watch movies, and they've been taught so steadfastly how not to believe in anything other than scientific. So when we preach about blessings and miracles and all those things, which we do, they're with you. But when it comes down to brass tacks of saying, and you're going to be changed from mortal to immortal, mortal to immortal? Well, that's what glorified means. That's what it means when it says we shall be like him. It means we shall be like him in that we will have, our bodies will be immortal like his. We won't be divine. We won't become God. But we will be completely made into his image in that we will have immortal bodies. And we will know what God knows because there will be nothing hindering the spirit from communing with us like it does now. Right now, our minds, our souls, our dispositions, our attitudes, our dedication, our loyalty to God, loyalty to God. I didn't say dedication, I said loyalty to God. They're not the same word. Dedication, people are dedicated. That means that they give themselves and they say, well, you know, I'm dedicated to this, I'm dedicated to that. You join this, you're doing that, you become a member. And someone would say, are you a member of that? You say, I am. And I pay my dues and I do all this. But are you loyal to it? Does it have your loyalty? In other words, can you be dependent on it? Are you loyal to it? For a long time, when I was in the ministry, just recently, I've come to realize, God, you know, people come to appreciations and things, and they talk about the pastor and do all this. I'm dedicated to this. I'm with you. We're working on this, and I'm trying to figure out, well, God, if you're working with me and you're so dedicated, why don't we have unity? And then I realize it. And then I have to turn and say, where do their loyalties lie? Because they're dedicated in name only and all the things that they have to do, but they're really loyal someplace else. Someone else that they depend on, and someone else that depends on them. Are you loyal to God? Where's your loyalty tonight? If it's a choice between loving God and loving something else, who do you choose? Because I've seen people, and you've seen them. Oh, you can see them in movies. We'll use movies. They're dedicated to a cause, but they love something else. And they'll die for the cause, but they love something else. And their loyalty is. So then, tonight, you know, if you're loyal to God, you know, your heart is fixed and you're in God. God gets number one in your life. He's primo. Because you don't have to worry about God forcing other people over. God is not like us. He doesn't, you know, exalt himself. And, you know, he is exalted. We exalt God. But he's not the kind of person who pushes other people out of your life unnecessarily. He insists on just being. No, he has his place. He's God. And when he says, I'm a jealous God, he can afford to be that because you don't have any other God.
No.
And it's not jealousy between him and people. No. It's jealousy. When he says that, he's only referring to him and other gods. There's nowhere in the Bible where God's going to say he's jealous of any person on earth. No. Not anywhere. No. Not at any time. There's, you know, if God's a jealous God, you can't serve God and man. No, you're missing the point. God doesn't want you serving the God of this world. He's not worried about the people. just against other gods. I am the Lord, am a jealous God. You should have no other God. You have to keep that in mind. Otherwise, you know, so we don't have to worry about God, you know, pushing people out of your lives because you're taking his place. No, it doesn't work like that. So he says it is for those of us who are really loyal to God, this is the mindset that we have. So when we get sick, you know what we say? We want to be healed, but Lord, in the back of our, but you know what else we say? But when I am changed. And if you tell us today that it's something that we're going to have to live the rest of our life with, it doesn't have to be life-threatening. It can be eczema. It can be, you know, baldness. It can be, you know, your eyes get old. It can be so many different things that you can live for a very long time with, but this is not going to improve. You're not going to grow any taller. Matter of fact, we all get shorter because you start to compact. I'm not going to grow new hair. There's no need of looking for that. I'm not going to grow teeth back. I can buy some, but I'm not going to grow anymore. And there are many other things about us that are, from this point forward, are not going to improve. And you can still live a long life. And you have in your mind, though, so it isn't just that when you find out you're dying, well, when I get to heaven. No, because if you don't have this mindset that you are going to be changed from mortal to immortal, and God is going to give you a new body, even when you get deathly ill, you might proclaim to us that you're depending on the Lord and everything else, but inwardly you'll be saying to yourself, I really have to be, but you're really going through it because you want to be healed. And you want it, and you'll start saying to yourself secretly, why me? I remember one time Sheila Mills and I were talking, and it was one of those times where I don't know how the two of us just ended up in the room at the same time. I think I was in, she was in the hospital. She was in Washington, D.C., and we were there on leave, and she was in the hospital. And she just broke down. She said, I just wonder, why do, she was 26 at the time, something like that. And she said, why, or she had been having it since she was 26, and she just broke down crying. She said, why am I the one who has to have cancer from 26? I don't have an answer for you. And yet I do, because we're mortal. Because we're mortal. Some apples grow bigger than others. Some apples never come to complete fullness. Some of them rot on the vine. Some of them fall to the ground. And we're the same way. Jesus, they asked Jesus with the blind man. They said, Jesus, they said, who did sin in his family? Because they had held it out just like a lot of people do. If he's blind at this young age, somebody in his family must have sinned. Jesus said, nobody sinned. He's just mortal. He says, and in this case, God is going to get glory. God is pointed him out specifically. And don't ever think God made him blind so he can get glory. That's not what he's saying. He says, this man is here for the glory of God. In other words, God is pointing him out to you disciples who are with me and who are learning to follow me, who are learning that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. God is pointing him out as another person that God's going to be glorified. Come over, and we're going to see the glory of God because God's going to heal him. Now, you need to be somebody that people can see the glory of God in you. But all of us who have our minds made up, you know, we're not doubting. We might doubt a lot of things, but our minds are made up about heaven, and our minds are made up about having an eternal body, an immortal body. And among Christendom, you'd be surprised at the people who can talk about Jesus and preach Jesus and give you a word, be so beautiful. And if you ask them, do you believe that our bodies are going to be changed? They will say, well, no, we'll just have to see. And that's when I say to myself, how did you miss this part? How do you not know that? That when we're caught up, you know, those of us who remain are going to be caught up in bodies. How did you not know? How did you miss this part that says, if our earthly body dies, we're going to get a new one in heaven? How do you miss that? He said, if so be, and this is the reason why. He says, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, then in the being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We don't want to be without a body. Hey, everybody, let me tell you a secret. Why do you think disembodied spirits run around all the time trying to get you to do things? Because they don't have bodies. What's part of the punishment for the pre-Adamite people not following God? They are disembodied spirits. Yes, they are. So do the people in hell have bodies too? Not so sure that they do, because part of the punishment is being disembodied. They will have it one day, I know that. And they might have them now, but I don't know. But the point of it is he says in this, we don't groan to be rid of a body and just be in energy and incorporeal and just float around in spirit form. None of us wants to do that. I don't know why we want to make God be that and not have a body. Do you not want to have a body? That's what he's saying. We're not groaning that we would, you know, it's not our desire that we would not be, he says we are desiring to be clothed upon with the house that's from heaven. If so, that in being clothed, we shall not be found. Or in other words, we will never be without a body one way or the other. We will not be spirits without bodies, it says in the New Living Testament. He says, we grow weary in our present body. We long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. This is why, you know, that's why demons, if people allow them, that's why they come into your body. That's why they try to tell you what to do with your body. Because they don't have bodies. And demons and, you know, disembodied spirits are not the same as fallen angels. Fallen angels are in Tartarus. But demons go through, you know, they're throughout the earth. They've never been consigned to any place. What was cast out of the man in the tombs were demons. They had infiltrated or taken up an abode in this man's body. It's amazing to me how many people can believe the evil spirits can take up, can live in people's bodies and not believe that the Holy Ghost can live in there. If you got room enough for 2,000 demons, you ought to be have enough room for at least one Holy Ghost. Of course, when he's in there, he'll allow the other ones to be in there. Holy Ghost-filled people might listen to demons more than they should, and they might be under a demon attack, and they might be under demon influence. But if you have the Holy Ghost, trust me, you do not have an evil spirit dwelling in you. He does not live in the same abode as the evil spirit. So you got that. You can say, well, thank you, Jesus, on that one. If you've ever thought, God, I must be possessed. No, you're not. If you have the Holy Ghost, you might listen to demons more than you should. They might influence you more than they should. But they do it from out here. They don't dwell in you because you cannot have an evil spirit dwelling in you. The Holy Ghost will not dwell in you and not drive out every evil spirit. That doesn't happen. You'll never have him in there warring. So if you have the Holy Ghost, you can sleep well tonight knowing that, hey, at least I know I don't have a demon. I listen to people sometimes in church. They look at people sometimes and say, why does she do things like that? She got demons. No, she doesn't have demons. She doesn't have demons either. They might be easily influenced. And, you know, I'll leave that where that is. if so, then at being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Or in other words, we will always have bodies. But we that, verse 4, we that are in this tabernacle do groan. While we're in these earthly bodies, we groan inside, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but we would be clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. While we're in these earthly bodies, we groan inside. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. In other words, we want them changed. I don't want this. I don't want to just die in order to have an immortal body. I got to wait on God. If you had a choice of taking your own life and getting eternal life, there would be nobody here to preach because most saved people have done that a long time ago. But God has given us a desire for life because while we live, we are lights in the earth. That's why when this chapter goes on down, it's going to talk about if our gospel be hid, is healed to them that are lost, in whom the light of the glorious gospel has been hid by the prince of this earth. We are lights in the earth, and God has given us a desire for life and to live and a love for life. There's never a time where God has ever given us a mind not to live. Not to live. Oh, I'm so sick. I'm so cancerous. Just go ahead and euthanize me and put me to sleep. No, that's not the mindset. The idea is when I get sick and when I get cancerous and I see there's nothing else, God will give me peace and I will say I'm ready to go home. But I'll wait on the Lord. Don't speed it up one little bit. I'll be here until God comes and gets me. And I'm satisfied with that. And when I go, I'll be at rest, but I won't try and go it one moment sooner. I cannot find my way to heaven, neither can you. And until God sends the angels that carry me back to heaven, until God moves so that I go to heaven, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get there without God. Someone else helping you die sooner won't get you to God. It's these bodies we're talking about. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan inside. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us, but rather we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Everybody who has a lasting condition or whatever, there's nothing wrong with saying, I will be so glad when I am changed. I'm not trying to die today, and I'm taking my meds, and I'm going to the hospital, and I'm taking tests, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do because God has given me a mind to live. I need to live until Jesus comes for me. Yes. I need to be a testimony of the goodness of God, of God's mercy and His grace, even in whatever condition I'm in. I need for people to see that I am still a light and that God loves me, and that when you're sick, it's not because you're a sinner. When you're sick, it's not because God is punishing you. When you're sick, it's not because God doesn't love you. When you're sick, it's because you have these mortal bodies that are susceptible to diseases and conditions and different things that happen in them. And by reasonable exercise and care, we can maintain them for a long time. And God will strengthen us and occasionally touch them and tune them up and give us a miracle and do all those things. But these mortal bodies that we live in are going to die, with the one exception that they live and Jesus comes and changes them from mortal to immortality. Either way, it is a testimony of the goodness of God. It is never time to say, well, I'm just so sick, I just wish God would go on and take me. No, I wish God, you must always desire healing. Changing from mortal to immortal is a healing. You must always desire God's deliverance and God's healing. Therein is the testimony of the goodness of God. So why am I sick to start with? Adam. Sin came into the world, and death by sin. Sin came in by one man, and that man, Adam, it says in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and death by sin. It also says it in Romans, the 5th chapter. So let's put the fault where it belongs. Now, he that hath brought us the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He says in this one, he says, it's God himself has prepared for us this immortal body that we're going to have. God's the one who's going to give us that as a guarantee. And as a guarantee that he's going to do that, he's given us the Holy Ghost. That I have the Holy Ghost says to me that God is going to change me from mortal to immortal. That you have the Holy Ghost says to you that God is going to change you from... Because the Holy Ghost is here to preserve us until we're changed. We find out in Romans 8 chapter, this body is the only portion of us that has not yet been redeemed. If you are saved and sanctified full of the Holy Ghost, your spirit has already been brought alive. He's working on this soul. I know it's a piece of work. And he's been laboring for a long time. And if you've been saved for 30, 40 years, and he hasn't gotten any further than he has, then it's a slow process. But the reality is he lives in you. He dwells there. And God doesn't just take it for giving us one touch and just saying, okay, now I've given you my spirit. I've touched you with the spirit. You're saved. And leaving us to try and make our way. No, the Holy Ghost dwells there. And he's forever there with us as long as we will obey God enough. I didn't say obey him perfectly, because none of us have ever done that. The blood has to cover that, because when you get wrong, then you ask God to forgive you, and he cleanses you and carries you on. His mercy and his grace carry you. As long as you will allow the mercy and grace of God into your life, such that you allow the Holy Spirit to remain. And you can get into all those details about what sins you can, I can't do this. You can go there if you want to. But the bottom line is, you must obey God enough that the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. And he is such a strong advocate. He lets you know when you're close to him leaving you. You don't just wake up one day and he's gone. He says to you, and he warns you, and his warning is stronger and stronger and stronger. And the only way that you don't hear him is you have to allow what you're doing in the world become stronger and stronger and stronger and drown him out. so that he becomes more and more faint, and eventually if the world, or then the world will overtake you. And then when he leaves, if you don't have demons, you can give him. Now he that has wrought for us the self same thing as God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. In other words, he that has prepared this mortal body for us, is preparing this mortal body for us, preparing the place for us, is God. And we know that God is preparing his body for us because he's given us the Holy Ghost. We can believe this because he's given us the earnest of the Spirit of, or the down payment. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Therefore, because we have received the Holy Spirit, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. In other words, because we have the Holy Spirit, we always know that as long as we live in these bodies and are not at home with the, we are not at home with the Lord. He says, we know that we're confident that when we're living here, our home is with God. We're always confident. For we live by believing and not by seeing. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Yes, we are fully confident and would rather be away from these earthly bodies. But then we will be home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. And we will receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil that we have done in this earthly body. Now, this is the one. I want to read it also in King James so you'll know. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And I'm going to read the next verse at the same time. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest to your consciences. For we commend ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them that glory in appearance and not in heart. But whether we are be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sophists for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now I want to go back to verse number 11. And I'm looking at 11 and 10 at the same time, and I'm finishing. I've heard people say this so many times. When you get before God, you're going to have to answer for what you did here and answer for what you did there and answer for all these. And they use this verse. But there's a time in between. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Saved, sinner, knowing, unknowing, clean, unclean, righteous, unrighteous, godly, ungodly. Everyone. Us now. People before the antediluvian saints, you know, before the flood, the ones who died, who have the disembodied spirits that float around now, the pre-Adamite people, everybody, since the beginning of the world, everybody, saint, sinner, everybody, not just this church, or the people in this church, or the people now. You got to get this in hold of everybody who's ever lived must appear before the judgment seat of God. All right? You with me? But not at the same time. You see, because all of us who are caught up in the rapture, we're not there to give account for our bad deeds because ours have been blotted out. If your bad deeds have not been blotted out, you're not going up. Your sins have to be forgiven. So when he says everyone to receive the things done in their body according to he has done, whether good or be bad, he's referring to whether it be saints or sinners. He's not talking about saved people will get there and you got to give account for when you were a sinner. No, that life doesn't exist anymore. You're a new creature. I'm saved, but when I get before God, he's going to go walk me all the way back through my whole life of all the things I've done in this body. No. When he says the things done in your body, whether good or bad, he's referring to whether saints or sinners. He says if they're, you know, if all of us who are caught up in the rapture, God is going to judge us accordingly. According to the good we've done in our body. What have we done? We have received the Lord Jesus Christ. We have believed on His death, on His powerful burial and His powerful resurrection. We have believed that God the Father has resurrected Him from the dead. We have opened our hearts and received the Holy Ghost. We've asked God to wash us and cleanse us. God has come in and purged our conscience. God has blotted out our transgressions. He blotted our sins. And we have been J-U-S-T-I-F-I-E-D, justified, which means not guilty. And He has given us His blood so that if any of us transgress, He says it in 1 John, if we confess our sins or our transgressions, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and transgressions. And the blood of His Son, Christ, cleanses us from all unrighteousness and keeps us clean so that when we show up, there's no bad to be represented. Not because we haven't done bad, but because God has blotted it out. So we don't have saved people sitting up there and got to go through all the good things, all the bad things. No. The bad things in the bodies are the people who show up 1,000 years later. And they come up and God judges them. We're not all judged at the same time. At the end of the millennium, hell, if you read Revelation, and the graves and all the people, they give up all the sinners. Now the sinners come dragging up. 1,000 years late. You know, some people show up late for everything. You don't want to be 1,000 years late. Now, Minister Smith, Elder Reed, now all the sinners come showing up. You know, God, before you, I think we need to talk about this a little bit. Did you do this in Nose? I didn't do it, Lord. I think you need to understand, you know, it wasn't me. It was, you know how they do? We're not in that bunch. We must all appear before the judgment seat of God to give an account of the things in our body, whether they are good or whether they are bad, whether I allowed the Lord to save me and wash me and cleanse me, or whether I didn't. You don't not go before God because you didn't let Him save you. You want to be a sinner, you're still going before God. This is what the scripture means when it says every knee must bow and every tongue must confess of things in heaven and things in earth and things beneath the earth. Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess, whether you're saved, saint, angel, devil, demon, person, Zoe, whatever you want. Every knee must bow, whether you love God, hate God, in God, out of God. Every knee must bow, and every tongue at this point is going to confess, He's Jesus, I don't care whether you like it or not. He's Jesus, I don't care whether you've ever served Him or not. He's Jesus, even though you hate Him. He's Jesus if you love Him. But you can't, but you will confess at some point that He is Lord. This you're going to do.
Amen.
Buddy, you know what? Now you're talking about a threat. You know how people make idle threats? God is saying, you can do whatever you want to do, but somewhere down the line, you're going to recognize my son. Amen. You can get saved, not get saved. You can act a fool. You can cut up. You can do whatever you want to. But somewhere along the line, at a point in time that I have determined, you are going to confess that my son is Lord. That's something you are going to do.
Amen.
Satan's going to do it.
Yes.
Satan's host is going to do it. Yes. The third of heaven that fell is going to do it. All the pre-Adamite men are going to do it. Yes. The undisembodied spirits are going to do it. Every demon's going to do it. Everything that is in the earth is going to confess at some point in time. Along, of course, with all of us who are saved, we don't have a problem. We're confessing it already. But every last one of things in heaven, that's where all the angels and all the heavenly realm and all the realm of the spirit and all, you know, and the things in the earth, that's us. All of them saved, unsaved. You don't want to come to church. You don't want to have nothing to do with God. You don't want to be preached to. You don't want to be told not to be in fornication, not to be in this. You know, I can't do nothing, God. That's okay. I don't know why. Fine. And for the people who don't believe in God, and for the atheists, and for the this and the that, it doesn't matter. Somewhere along the line, when God gets ready, you're going to say Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
You're going to say it because you're someone of heaven. You're going to say it because you're one of the natural men that live in the earth after the millennium? Or you're going to say it because you're those beings that have been cast into the lake that burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One way or the other, it doesn't matter where you're located or what your status and your state is, you are going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You're going to say that the work that Jesus Christ did, He is Lord of all. And you're going to glorify the Father in the process because the Father is the one who resurrected Him from the dead.
Yes.
And the Father is the one who watched over Him all those years. And,
yes.
And the Father is the one who gave Him the Spirit without measure.
Yes.
And the Father is the one who would lead Him from this place to that place and said, heal that one.
Yes.
It's the Father saying that He'd heal that one because He
yes.
does the will of the Father. And the Father is the one who says, that blind man would make an excellent example, heal him. And the Father says, raise up Lazarus. And the Father says, heal the man by the pool of Bethesda. Because He does the will of the Father always. All the things the Father tells Him to do, He always does them. He always does the Father's will. The work I do, it's the Father's.
Yeah.
And when you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're glorifying the Father.
Yeah.
When you tell a child at school, "You look, boy, don't you look nice today as a six-year-old. Don't you look nice today?" Look at Timaeus or somebody and say, "Don't you look nice? Look at that suit. Look at those pictures." You're glorifying his mom or his grandmother. Because
yeah.
he didn't buy him.
Yeah.
He didn't choose him. He didn't do anything with him. They just put him on him.
Yeah.
And he gets all the compliments. But it's the glory of whoever did the work.
Yeah.
He says to them, at some point in time, we're going to all stand. We're not going to be whispering around. Just... You know, we're just ghosting. He says, you're gonna have a body now. Because at some point in time you're gonna all stand before the judgment seat of God. And for all of us who are saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, we're gonna do that the moment we go into judgment, the moment we go into eternity. It's when he says to me, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord," that's the time I meet him. He doesn't save that for a grand invitation some million years later.
Yeah.
We all stand before the judgment seat of God. We shall all stand before the judgment. And no, it won't be this one mass load of people. God's in there. We all stand in line like we're at the welfare. It won't be like that. All of us who are saved and full of the Holy Ghost, my goodness, by the time the saints are brought up in the millennium, we will already have our assignments and our jobs. We'll be working for the Lord. We'll be heaven. You know, we'd be shoveling them on down. You know, whatever we need to do, we'd be on the Lord's side. Whose side are you leaning on? Leaning on the Lord's side. This is where we're supposed to be. So he says in this, I'm done. You need to know. Stop playing games with God as a spirit and doesn't have a body. God is a spirit body because God is a spirit being because God is divine. He has a body because we have bodies and we are made in His own image. God has one and we will have one. When you enter in, for all of you tonight who are sick, been going through sickness for a long time, I still pray for Ella Tienzler Rogers. I pray for a miracle for her. I want God to heal Ella Tienzler Rogers for His glory and for His honor. I want to see it. So that's selfish. Well, let it be that. And let God, you know, deal with me accordingly. But I want to see her healed. For God's glory. Not that any one of us be good. You know, when the Lord touches Ella Tienzler and heals her and lifts her up, there's no one I know on earth who's ever going to be able to say, "Well, I prayed the prayer and she was healed," because I don't know anybody who hasn't prayed for her at one point or another. And God makes sure of that too, because He makes sure, like He does with Lazarus. When Lazarus is dead in that grave, Lazarus goes on and dies because God wants to make sure there's nobody around here who can claim they heal Lazarus. It's going to be, you can't do anything to say, "My son, for the sake of my son, I raised Lazarus from the dead." Nobody around here else can take the glory.
Yes.
Jairus' daughter, same thing. So I still have hope and faith in God that one of these days God is going to touch Ella Tienzler Rogers and it's just going to be done.
Yes.
You know, wouldn't you like to see that? So Bishop, I'm not sure about it. Wouldn't you like to see that? It's just going to be done. No more tests, no more machines. And she's just going to get up, and I'm not talking about dying even. She's just going to get up, and life is going to resume.
Yes.
And then she's going to get up and get this church going, or whatever she's going to do, or preach, or go wherever she's going to go, or move to Fort Walton Beach and be a part of Promise. She's going to, you know, all this is going to be, you know, we could use her in Promise. We could always use good evangelists, because Tienzo Rogers is preaching somebody. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Don't worry, you can drag Andy up here with you. We'll find a husband. And then we just, you know, hey, you know, I dream things like this. I have in my mind. I want to see God do it. If, you know, while I'm waiting to be changed, fix me. While I'm waiting to be changed, fix me. Everybody stand. Please. Charles, give me like a C sharp or something lower. Similar to this song. Because, I have to sing lower because, one, because my head's all stopped, doesn't sound like I'm on, like it's broken. Just give me the key, you don't have to play it. For thou, O Lord, on high, above all the earth, thou art exalted. Transgressions, oh God, that we would be judged for the good things that are done in our bodies, oh Lord, that only good things would remain. Then let all the evil, all uncleanness, and all ungodliness be blotted out, Lord, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Justify us tonight, Lord, justify us so that you can heal us. Justify us tonight so that you can change us. Justify us tonight so that you can move in us by our Holy, by your Holy Spirit. Justify us, Lord. Blot out our transgressions. Blot out our iniquities. Lord, we pray thee in Jesus' name. Yes. Lord, we call upon you and we acknowledge our precious Son, Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for the remission of our sins. Lord, tonight, Lord, we implore you, O God. Lord, let the blood stand for us so that you may heal us, be glorified, O God, and so you may deliver us and be glorified. And Lord, make a change in our lives that others will see and say, it must be the Lord. Lord, change our minds so others will see and say, Lord, the Lord has really worked a change in them. Lord, we no longer want to be like we were, Lord, without you. And Lord, even on our best day, Lord, there's room for change that you will make, that the light of the glorious gospel will shine in us. Change us, O Lord, so that people can say without a doubt, God has moved in them. Change us, O Lord, so the people will say about us that they said about Peter, said about Moses, that he has been with the Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, change us so that the glow will show, O God, that we have been before God.
Yeah.
And people can see in the way that we act and the things that we do. According to your word, for Lord, you said in your word that people would know that you are that we are your disciples by our love, O God. Father, we ask you tonight, Lord, touch all those who are sick and in any affliction, whether it be affliction in their body and sickness and disease, and Lord, any affliction whatsoever, whether it be, Lord, sickness or affliction, Lord, in their environment, in their lifestyle, in Jesus' name, Lord, there be any condition that they're going through. Lord, whether it be deemed permanent by men on earth, Lord, it's not deemed permanent by God. Lord, you're able to change all things. Father, we ask you to touch tonight. And Lord, make us whole from the crown of our head to the sole of our body. Lord, change us and touch us on the inner man. Touch these bodies with the finger of God and with the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Move even now, O God, by your Spirit.
Yes.
By your Spirit, O God, I pray, Lord. By your Spirit, O God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, drive out cancer and heal these bodies. And change lupus, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, touch these tumors and cause them to be no more. And Lord, all these different things that are happening, touch Chandra's eyes. And Lord, touch all the things of us, Lord, in the different ways of these mortal bodies. Lord, I pray, Lord, give us a touch of mortality, immortality, O God. Change us and make us whole, O God, as we wait for your Son from heaven, O God, as we wait to be changed from all to all more. Lord, move in us for your glory, O God. Lord, show, Lord, by your healing the things that you're able to do even to these mortal bodies. And prove before mortal men and people that God has power above every power, and that power belongs to God. There's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stretch forth thy hands, O God, and make us whole before all men, O God. Change us before all God, that they will say that we have been with you, O Lord, and that we belong to you. Lord, let them see your glory in us, O God, and in the way that you move in our lives. And Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, as we wait for our bodies from heaven, O God,
yes.
Lord, we are sure, O Lord, according to your word, Lord, that when these bodies die, we have a new body, Lord, not made by hands, but made by God.
Yes.
Lord, we are never unclothed. Lord, we are never without a body. Lord, our spirit will move, Lord, into an immortal body. Lord, we'll be changed, O God, and we glorify your name.
Yes.
Lord, we give you honor, we give you praise. Lord, we ask you to heal all those that are sick tonight. Elder Thompson, Elder Keisha Sewell, Elder Rogers, O God, all those who have any infirmity, Lord, Elder Jenkins, O God, who needs a healing in her body, Minister Smith, and Elder Smith, and Bishop Smith, and all of us, Lord, who are getting old and have all these, some are greater than others, O Lord, but we ask you to touch us in our bodies and make us whole, Lord, Bishop Butler, all those that are sick in any way, Bishop Lee, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, move among us, O Lord, and Lord, keep us running. Lord, keep us repaired until we see you.
Yes,
Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that anything you do to these mortal bodies is not permanent. Lord, but just keep us moving. Keep our minds sharp until we see you, O God. Lord, to the glory of God. Lord, let others see, Lord, what a good God you are and how you serve, how you work, how you serve those, Lord, who serve you, O God. How you minister those who minister to you.
Yes.
And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and we'll give you all the honor. We'll give you all the praise. Lord, bless Promise Church and add members from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south.
Yes.
Bring them here that they may be healed and that they may be saved and that they may be delivered.
Yes.
Lord, give them a mind not only to be a member of Promise, but to be loyal, O God.
Yes.
Not just to Promise, but to God.
Yes.
And be loyal to what God has given.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless us and keep us in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for bringing Mother Morrow without incident. And we'll give you all the glory, all honor. Remember Deacon Conducted, Lord, in this situation. Move in his father's life, Lord, I pray, Lord, draw him to the cross. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. The people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God, everybody.